God promises to bestow on us a crown of beauty instead of ashes, and joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair.
We're at a time when up is down, black is white, evil is good, and we are challenged nonetheless to be salt and light and to delay the decay. And as I like to say, things are not falling apart, they're falling into place. Having said that, I never thought I would live to see the day with the earth reeling in an apocalyptic manner, yet most people going about business as usual, eating, drinking, and enjoying life.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jen Markell. Jen opens today's broadcast with a look back on 2018 and will comment on events she never thought would happen in her lifetime. A bit later, Jen meets with Julie Brayton from Paradise, California, to discuss the wildfires that swept through Julie's community last November. Julie Brayton's story will encourage you, so let's get started. With today's program, here's Jen Markell.
And welcome to the program. And here we are at the end of 2018. And throughout the year, I have written some commentaries that are called I Never Thought I'd See the Day. And frankly, a lot of things have happened in 2018 I'd never thought I'd see. And so I'm just going to give a very short commentary as we exit the year here. Some things that, again, I didn't think I'd live to see, starting with never thought I'd see the day that the slaughter of 11 Jews in a Pittsburgh synagogue last October would be blamed on the most pro-Israel president ever, a president who has kept his promises as it concerns Israel, the U.S. embassy move, cancellation of the bogus Iran nuclear agreement, and much more. So why is Donald J. Trump responsible for the reckless acts being perpetrated in an out-of-control world? And then, never thought I'd see the day that this ordeal would be made even worse when the Atlantic publication urged Trump-supporting Jews to not welcome in synagogues Donald J. Trump, or for that matter, state that he was not even welcome in Pittsburgh.
Do you welcome the president to Pittsburgh in the wake of this?
Are you asking me a personal question?
I'm asking you.
I do not welcome this president to my city.
Why not?
Because he's the purveyor of hate speech. The hypocritical words that come from him tell me nothing. We have very, very strong leadership in this city. We have a very strong mayor with very strong values, a very strong county executive in Rich Fitzgerald. We have people who stand by us, who believe in values, not just Jewish values, but believe in values. And those are not the values of this president. And I do not welcome him to Pittsburgh.
Lynette Letterman, these losses took a piece of your heart. It takes a piece of our collective heart in this nation as well. Thank you for being with us. We know you will be strong.
Well, I never thought I'd see the day. So it's President Donald Trump's fault. Well, let's move on. Never thought I'd see the day almost half of Americans, both Republicans and Democrats, state that they feel like a stranger in their own country. According to the Washington Times, 47% of Americans now say that things have changed so much they feel like a stranger in their own country. Nearly 6 in 10 Republicans say that things have changed so much they feel alienated. 42% of Democrats agree. Well, moving on, I never thought I'd see the day that churches across America of all denominations would celebrate Halloween last October, featuring zombies, dancing skeletons, haunted hayrides, glorifying demons and all things dark. What part of Ephesians 5:11 don't they get? Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. While conservative Christian-identifying churches nationwide hosted Halloween-themed events throughout the month of October, some featuring or including Halloween-centered sermons and performances, haunted hayrides, costume contests with children and adults alike dressing up as skeletons, ghosts, witches, and more. Well, a church in Oklahoma actually permitted its parking lot to be used on Saturday for an area zombie walk as a means to make friends with its neighbors in the city. Over 1,000 dressed-up zombies came. And what do zombies and haunted hayrides really have to do with evangelism, even though the church would say that's what we use these vehicles for. Well, I never thought I'd see the day that kill all Jews would become a popular trend on social media. Twitter actually apologized for their role in this. They said this was trending as a result of coverage and the horrified reactions to the vandalism against a synagogue in New York City. But regardless, said Twitter, it should not have appeared as a trend. And they went on to say, at times we do prevent certain content from trending, and we have now done so with this trend. But I never thought I'd see the day this trend would appear on social media. You know, tech giants are the new masters of the universe, and they need to set a more stable online environment, not set a tone that is reckless. But then, I guess we are in reckless times. I never thought I'd see the day that Christians and Trump supporters would be depicted as trash in a fake New York City sanitation ad.
I actually think it's really disrespectful to New Yorkers.
I think it's a little abrasive, but I do appreciate it. I think it's funny, and it's very New York.
Keeping NYC trash-free. That's the message on these anti-Trump posters found on trash cans, buildings, and phone booths. This one in Sarah Roosevelt Park shows a man with a Confederate flag tattoo holding a Chick-fil-A cup wearing a Make America Great Again hat.
He and I will never get along, and that's perfectly fine with me. But at the end of the day, you have to respect people for being who they are.
A second one on Delancey Street shows a woman wearing the same hat holding a Bible.
It's pretty, sensitive material. It's sending a strong message.
The alleged artist, Winston Tsang, posted the art on his Instagram. His work, also known for taking stabs at the MTA and Boston sports fans. In a statement to Pix 11, Tsang says, quote, "For the record, I didn't create or put up these posters, but if I did, I wouldn't want people to take them so seriously, since they're meant to reflect certain parts of our society and not meant to generalize beyond those. I just want the intended audience of my fellow, quote, classist, elitist New Yorkers to hopefully be entertained by the, quote, unhelpful, tone-deaf image as they go about their day in this trash-filled liberal bubble." The sanitation department says it didn't create or issue the posters, does not condone defacing public property, and is looking into the matter. Regardless of political opinion, most New Yorkers we talked to said the posters just aren't productive.
I mean, it stings. The world's getting rougher and rougher to be around. I don't like it. I mean, I don't think this is the way to solve things.
Definitely not taking the high road.
We just spoke to a man. He stopped by and chatted with us for a few minutes, and he said that he actually saw one of these posters on the D train earlier today, so they are cropping up in other places along the city. We do know, though, that most of them at this point have been taken down. Reporting live on the Lower East Side, Katie Corrado, Pix 11 News.
Well, to add insult to injury, I guess I never thought I'd see the day when Christians and conservatives would actually be called, well, scum. They'd be called the dregs of society by Joe Biden and others. Apparently, the progressives have moved beyond just the terms racist, sexist, and Islamophobe, and now we are scum and the dregs of society.
Despite losing in the courts and in the court of public opinion, these forces of intolerance remain determined to undermine and roll back the progress you all have made. This time, they, not you, have an ally in the White House. This time, they have an ally. They're a small percentage of the American people, virulent people, some of them the dregs of society. And instead of using the full might of the executive branch to secure justice, dignity, safety for all, the president uses the White House as a literal bully pulpit, callously exerting his power over those who have little or none.
Well, moving on, I never thought I would see the day that such strong delusion would soar and blatant witchcraft would be in headlines. Witches would curse Judge Brett Kavanaugh, and a professing Christian would promote Christian witchcraft. And while no true Bible-believing Christian would promote witchcraft, still this story made headlines in Christian circles and likely confused a lot of people. Christian witchcraft is no better than Christianized tarot cards and Christianized yoga, which we have talked about in this program this past year. A lot of deception going on, a lot of even deception in the church going on, but actually witches cursing Judge Brett Kavanaugh?
The left is still so angry over the recent confirmation of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. that some are resorting to witchcraft to hurt him. That's right. A coven of witches is gathering in Brooklyn as we speak to place a hex on Justice Kavanaugh in hopes that evil will come his way. Earlier, I spoke with Dakota Bracciale, who is the leader of this occult group. All right, so Dakota, you're a witch.
Yeah.
And you are going to use witchcraft against Justice Kavanaugh.
Yep.
What is the ritual that you are undertaking?
Well, like traditionally in witchcraft, we don't share, most people don't share the exact particulars of the ritual.
Can you give me a hint?
Well, there will be effigies, photos, graveyard dirt, coffin nails, open flames, the whole bit.
Whoa. So yeah. Will an effigy of Kavanaugh be burned by the witches?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And a picture of Kavanaugh will be burned?
Yes.
What will you be doing with the graveyard dirt?
So that goes in a container spell, which is basically when you take a jar, fill it with ingredients, seal it, and then burn candles on it. And it's like a continuing spell that you can then re-up on anytime.
Is there a cauldron involved?
Yeah, that's where the fire will be.
Okay.
Yeah.
And has these things worked in the past, these hexes?
Yeah, we feel like they have.
How have you proven that they've worked?
So,
and who else have you hexed?
Well, we hexed Trump last summer. We did 3 cumulative rituals. So there was one in June, one in July, one in August. And since then, a lot has come out. I mean, so a lot of people take it as like hexing is to like make that person die or like do something horrible to them. But it all really depends specifically on like what you're trying to do, right? And that's all in the wording and all in the intention. For us, it's about exposing these people because we believe that they are fundamentally dishonest and fundamentally unethical. And so we want that to be exposed.
Jan Markell here. You're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. And I'm spending this first short segment just going over some things in 2018 I never thought I'd live to see. Never thought I'd live to see that many Catholics would be disillusioned with a pope who they are taught can do no wrong. Some Catholics feel Pope Francis has a crisis of credibility. Now, this is coming from Catholics, remember. This is not coming from Protestants, but it is Catholics who are saying that Pope Francis should take a stand for the Bible and not just social justice. Didn't think I'd ever see the day. Or never thought I'd see the day social media would keep promoting evil, but Facebook would censor and block prayer. The website in question is pray.afa.net, and that is the link to AFA's prayer website, which features a scripture passage each day and a fresh prayer formed by using the words of the passage for the day. In other words, the website contains nothing but prayers that are primarily nothing but the Word of God converted into prayer. Well, moving on, I never thought I would see the day that an American president, Donald J. Trump, would declare to the whole world of globalists that he is not one of them. He wants nothing to do with their one world scheme. The globalists were thrown a curveball in November of 2016. They lost the election they thought was a guarantee so they could build their new world order much more quickly. Well, this was a setback of biblical proportions. Donald J. Trump stating, you know what? I'm not one of you guys.
You know what a globalist is, right? You know what a globalist is. A globalist is a person that wants the globe to do well, frankly, not caring about our country so much. And you know what? We can't have that. You know, they have a word. It sort of became old-fashioned. It's called a nationalist. And I say, really, we're not supposed to use that word. You know what I am? I'm a nationalist, okay? I'm a nationalist. Nationalist. Nothing. Use that word.
And with shades of Daniel 9:27, I think I never thought I'd live to see the day that a European leader, unable to patiently wait for a U.S. peace plan in the Middle East between Palestinians and Israelis, would come out and say that he would come up with such a plan himself. Again, that's Shades of Daniel 9:27. France's Emmanuel Macron cannot wait to be such a peace broker. One periodical calls Macron Europe's savior. Is Macron a candidate for the Antichrist? Well, I'm not sure that's possible when his approval rate at home is totally in the cellar and the French people want to be rid of him. Frankly, I never thought I'd see the day where most evangelicals would believe that God accepts the worship of all religions. The article stated a majority of evangelicals now believe that God accepts the worship of all religions according to a new study released by Ligonier Ministries that shows many have also grown confused about some core doctrine of the Christian faith. And I never thought I'd see the day where theaters would actually turn away a money-making film titled God's Knell because it didn't fit the liberal agenda. To them, of course, abortion is a sacrament. And I never thought I'd see the day when drag queens would be welcomed into grade school and middle school with no warning to parents. Oh, one more thing. I never thought I'd live to see the day where in my hometown of the Twin Cities, the land of 10,000 lakes and 10,000 churches, only two of those churches would preach on the rapture. The fact that the king is coming would be of no interest to 99% of the churches in my hometown. Well, that's just a partial list, quite frankly. I guess we're not in Kansas anymore. It's a new day. The Bible said such aberrations would be characteristic of a last days generation. So that's the good news. Now, let me just give you a quick heads up here, a reminder, folks, and then we're going to move into my closing segments for this hour, for this year. We're going to hear from a survivor of the Paradise Fire in California last November, but a quick reminder that I will be in Southern California this coming week. I'll minister with Jack Hibbs on Wednesday evening, January 2nd, for the Wednesday evening service, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California. Saturday, January 5th, will be with, again, Pastor Jack Hibbs, Amir Sarfati, Pastor Barry Stagner. Yours truly will participate in the Awaiting His Return Conference, Calvary Chapel, Tustin, California. Here's where you go for the info, cctustin.org, cctustin.org, calvarychapeltustin.org. It will be live streamed, 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Pacific time. Look forward to meeting some Olive Tree supporters on the West Coast all next week. Again, consult Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California, Calvary Chapel, Tustin, California, for all details. I'm moving now after a real short timeout. We're going to talk to a survivor of a tragedy that she's trying to turn into triumph. We'll be back to do that in just a couple of minutes.
This ministry brings you a weekly update on current events that the Bible calls the last days. You can catch the program on this radio station every week at this time or any time on olivetreeviews.org. It's been a good year for Understanding the Times Radio. We expanded our coverage around the USA. We're hearing more often from our listeners. We just want to say thank you for listening. Thank you for making this broadcast one of the most listened to weekend programs in the nation. As 2018 draws to a close in the next couple of days, it's not too late to help us end this year financially in the black. We welcome your tax-deductible gifts mailed to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. You can give safely and securely online at olivetreeviews.org or by phone at 763-559-4444. We are looking forward to the new year with expectant hearts that the trumpet will sound and the Lord will return. However, until then, you can count on us to be here every weekend with a program that will remind you of His soon return. Last November 8th, you'll recall, a devastating wildfire swept through Paradise, California. For the balance of this hour, Jan talks with Julie Braden about her experience in Paradise.
I received the immediate evacuation text on my cell phone to do immediate evacuation for our zone, which we're in Zone 6 in Lower Paradise. He hooked up the truck to the camp trailer. I got behind him in the car with our dog and a few belongings, and we went down Clark Road towards the valley. And all the while down there, we're both seeing spot fires igniting coming up the canyon wall.
Jan Markell returns right after this brief timeout. As our year winds down, we want to thank all of you who have supported this radio outreach in 2018. We now air on over 825 radio stations and around the world electronically. You have made this possible. There is still time for a year-end gift. You can do so online at our website, olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org. You can also call us Central Time at 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. Or just drop us a note with a tax-deductible gift to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. We call this program Radio for the Remnant. If you are a remnant believer, we hope you will encourage one another and look up, for our redemption draws nigh. If our headlines have you down, remember, everything is falling into place.
This is Jan Markell, and I want to thank all of our listeners who regularly pray for us and stand with us with your financial support. It means a lot to me and to this ministry. Thank you for helping us reach America with the message of truth.
There have been countless stories of loss and survival to surface in the wake of the campfire.
Deputy Aaron Parmley refused to let four nurses be part of that statistic. When his police cruiser broke down, he proceeded on foot
to evacuate four nurses at the Feather Rivers Hospital from the hellscape earlier this month. You can hear people cry out for help. Finally, another fire truck pulls up and they pile in.
And even when they got into those vehicles, they still weren't sure they were going to survive. They still had to drive through a tunnel of fire just to get to safety.
Campfire alone in Northern California ravaged more than 18,000 buildings. The death toll now stands at 88, and nearly 200 people are still unaccounted for.
Last November 8th, you'll recall, a devastating wildfire swept through Paradise, California and surrounding area. At times, the flames were moving at a pace of 100 yards a second. Nothing was standing in its way. Jen talks with Julie Braden about her experience in Paradise and the impact faith had during her fiery trial. Let's rejoin Jen Markell and her conversation with Julie Braden.
And welcome back. And many of us watched in horror last November as a wind-whipped fire swept through regions of California. Along the way, we heard miraculous stories. We heard tragic stories. Life was lost. As my guest says, in Paradise, California, there was a perfect storm. High winds moved flames at 100 yards a second. Local equipment failed and caused a spark that set off the flames. There were narrow roads for escape, and in Paradise, the fire was early morning, and for those who were not early risers, many of them could not even respond in time. Two who did survive are Julie and Mark Braden, and this ministry was in touch with them almost immediately, as Julie is on our Facebook page, and she then emailed our office and requested replacement of conference DVDs they had ordered and lost in the fire. Now, Julie and Mark, her husband, and their dog were able to get out, but dozens could not get out. I'm going to have Julie tell much of this story. Julie, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Julie,
I appreciate your interest.
Describe that early morning on November the 8th.
We're early risers, and we were up about 6:30 in the morning, just getting our normal day together. And my husband noticed that there was a red sky, and as he opened the back doors into our backyard, discovered that there was quite a bit of lit embers raining down on our property in our neighborhood. And I went out the front door and saw the same, and got a better view of the sky, which was a dark gray, and the air was heavy with smoke and difficult to breathe. And I got online to see where the fire was and discovered that it was out in Polga, which is a remote area up Highway 70. And we thought, oh, it's not going to get here, but why do we have the raining embers? And then my husband heard the transformer across the street blow up and saw flames shooting up in the air and said, we need to evacuate now. And during that process, this all happened within a half an hour from 8 a.m. to 8:30 when we departed our property, that the smoke was coming in, the lit embers were coming down. I received the immediate evacuation text on my cell phone to do immediate evacuation for our zone, which we're in zone 6 in Lower Paradise. He hooked up the truck to the camp trailer. I got behind him in the car with our dog and a few belongings, and we went down Clark Road towards the valley. And all the while down there, we're both seeing spot fires igniting coming up the canyon wall. And I recall looking down and seeing a friend of ours' home in the canyon that they had lost to a wildfire a couple of years back, and they had just rebuilt and moved back into it. And I remember praying, Lord, please spare their home for them this year. Don't let their home be affected. And thankfully, their home was spared. They had good fire break around mm-hmm. their property. And so their home survived. And as I was driving down past their home, there was almost two near collisions in front of me as people were stressed and driving as fast as they could on a two-lane exit route down towards Silla Valley, Butte College area. But as I got down to the bottom of the hill, my check engine light came on, and I thought, oh no, something's wrong with my car. Am I going to be able to get out of here? And I continued to pray, but I got a little disoriented, and I took a wrong turn to go towards where I was supposed to meet my husband. But I was able to backtrack and get out to the Pence Hotel in Mesilla Valley, where that was our meeting point. And when we got there, we just parked, and we were so in shock that we just watched the ridge as we saw black and orange and gray and white smoke rolling across the land, and hearing the explosions of propane tanks and seeing flashes of light as transformers blew up. And we just were in shock. And as I was watching this, I'm trying to get through via text message to my daughters, because in our area, we have dead spots for cell phone coverage. And we were unfortunately in an area that doesn't have good cell coverage. And thankfully, I was able to get through to my youngest daughter who lives in Chico. She had heard from my oldest daughter who had left for work after dropping her 14-year-old off at school and had been told to go back and get your family and your pets and come back out immediately. And that was just prior to the immediate evacuation orders for Paradise.
When you left your home, you thought you'd be able to return to your home. Why was that?
Yes, because my experience with three other bad fires in our area, the firefighters have always been able to get that fire break to where it would stop the fire from coming into densely populated areas such as our community. But this was the perfect storm. As I said earlier, the winds were gusting at 50 miles per hour, and it was unnaturally going against one another. We had two fronts coming in. As a fire came up the canyon towards Feather River Hospital, theoretically, it should have traveled down Pence Road, where the canyon winds would normally go, but it went up towards Magalia and burned parts of southern Magalia. It was just swirling around. The winds were causing the embers to carry distances that normally they don't. So I felt confident that the firefighters would be able to control it, but I had no idea the severity of this fire and the quick progression of the fire at that point.
When did you realize that the whole town would likely be gone? Because there's quite a jump from you're leaving and you think you're going to come back because things will be okay, the firefighters will control it, to the point when you actually have a look at the scene from the distance and realize absolutely everything might be gone.
Well, I think that really hit me when we got down to our meeting place down in Mesilla Valley, and we were watching the fire from the valley, and we could see it just spread all across the ridge, and we knew then it was out of control. The winds were just blowing so strongly that the flag on the flagpole at the hotel, the flag was looked like it had just been a piece of cardboard up there on the flagpole.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't billowing. It was stiff like a cardboard. And we knew with those high winds, it would just overwhelm the emergency personnel fighting that fire. And we just started praying for safety for all of the emergency responders and for people to get out.
How about neighbors, friends? Did you see some as you were fleeing and once you got to this hotel destination?
Yes, when I got the text, it was about 8:20, and I had already been loading things in the car, and Mark was hooking up the truck to the trailer. I went out front as soon as I got the text and told my neighbors, because they were gathered out front trying to figure out, oh my goodness, what do we do now? And I said, we have to evacuate. You've got to get out now. Get your pets. Get in the car. Get out. And so they started doing that, and then Mark pulled out of our street. I pulled out behind him. And since then, in the last month, we have talked with our neighbors, and they're all, praise God, they're all safe. They got out and are scattered. You know, we're not in the same vicinity as our neighbors are, as happened with so many people from this area that have been affected by the fire. It reminds me of the scattering of the Jews all over the place. We have friends that went to Kansas, where family was, Arizona, Oregon, Washington, Idaho, all the surrounding areas, wherever they could find a place of refuge from the fire.
I'm sure along the way you must have been praying almost nonstop.
Oh, yes. And I was praying for safety for firefighters, that people would be able to get out and escape, that lives would be spared. But mostly I was praying, too, for the fire to go out, but also for the strengthening of our faith, that this would not cause us to have doubt in the Lord who came to save us. Because so many times we think of our earthly goods as this is it, and it's not. And my husband, we've talked about how this has solidified our faith in the Lord even more than it was. And we enjoy going out and encourage people that, yes, this is a devastating instance that happened. Yes, lives were lost, and we grieve with the families that have lost their family members, and we continue to pray for them to be comforted through it all. We're coming in contact with so many people that they just say, it's all about family, it's all about relationships. Stuff is stuff. It's here today, gone tomorrow. But
yeah,
they're sharing with us the importance of relationship.
I want to ask you to hear in just a minute or two a little bit about how you're actually sharing your faith. And you told me some of the response. I'll get to that in just a minute. Quite frankly, I just kind of shocked at some of the response you're getting as you do share some of the good news. So you had a couple of daughters in the area, and they are fine as well, correct?
Yes, yes. My immediate family, we all escaped without injury, physical injury, emotional trauma, of course, you know, with the young granddaughters, and of course with my daughter too, losing her first home she ever bought is gone, and the panic that she felt, she raced back up to town from Chico to get her youngest daughter. She had just dropped off at school, and they got out with nothing but themselves and their dogs. I think it was the Saturday after the fire, I went into a store where my oldest granddaughter works, the coffee bar there, and I saw her, and I just went up and gave her a big hug, and, you know, she's 21, and she's like, oh, Nana, you always want a hug. But I was just so happy to see her, that she was alive and well, and she had a smile on her face. So that was a big comfort to me, because I hadn't actually seen, you know, my family members, because we were not in the same area either.
Talking to Julie Braden for a couple of segments here, and many of you remember right after our midterm election, that was November 6th, 2 days later in California, the Santa Ana winds blew, which happens several times a year. Sometimes those are called devil winds. I understand why. And as I said, as opening this segment, the winds blew the flames 100 yards a second. 100 yards a second. Wrap your brain around that. 100 yards per second the flames were spreading. And you can imagine the panic that ensued as people tried to escape. Many did. Many did not. This was back on November the 8th. And the media reports following that, looking for many missing and trying to discover just how many might have been left in some of the homes that where people could not escape. Julie, we're several weeks out now from this ordeal, though I'm not through talking about it here. But as we speak, the missing, how many are missing? Talk to me a little bit about that.
The latest update that I've read is that there are still three people missing. There were 86 people that perished, and several have non-fatal injuries and are in hospital or have been released home already. Five firefighters were injured during the fire, and the sheriff's office has identified, I think, a little over half of those who lost their lives, and the rest are pending notification of kin. There's going to be a meeting this evening to give us more up-to-date, accurate numbers, but as of my last information they have, that's what the statistics are showing.
Now, has insurance come through for the people? Because I know this was a problem at first, and are people left with nothing, or is insurance helping them out? Tell me about that.
Well, what I'm hearing from there's a lot of Facebook sites for campfire information and homeowner information and renter information. So I glean a lot of information from that. And people who had homeowners insurance are working with their agents, and some are having to wait until the adjuster actually views the property. And with zones still being closed in Paradise, in Concal, Magalia, the homeowners can't get up there to view their property, and an adjuster can't get there to view it either to do the payout. It's going to take 30 to 60 days is what I'm told before people can get their insurance funds released to them. A lot of people are getting partial releases from their insurance companies for loss of use so they can pay for a place to stay, have food, replenish their clothing. If they need a vehicle, they can rent a car. It's a time-consuming process as far as insurance goes. I talked with a widow this last week that she lost everything. She was in a mobile home park up there. Her home was paid for, so she didn't have homeowner's insurance, and so she was not sure what she was going to be able to afford to do because she's on Social Security. So she was still in the processing phase of, what do I do? I don't have homeowner's insurance, but she was able to go through the disaster recovery center and get some aid there. So those people who have insurance are getting partial payouts, waiting their full payout once the adjuster views the property. Those who don't have insurance are seeking assistance through FEMA and the disaster recovery center in Chico. There are several organizations that are giving out Visa cards with preloaded funds to them, mm-hmm. and so they're getting aid that way. We're just so blessed with so much aid that has come into our area to give people items that they need immediately, for such as clothing. For one instance, Kathy Sohenbach is opening up part of their warehouse for all the quilts that they've received from all over the country for people to go in and get a quilt. And that distribution is going on for a couple more weeks as they receive the handmade quilts from sewers all across the country. And so there's those kind of donations that are coming in, as well as the gift cards. I have one girlfriend that she hooked up with people from Oregon that gave her a pile of $25 gift cards. And she was randomly going around the community handing them out to people and blessing them with a $25 gift card to Olive Garden. Here's a $25 gift card for gas, those kinds of things. So the generosity of people is amazing, as you know, the evacuees are receiving aid from all different sources. Getting back to insurance, people who rented, if they had renter's insurance, they are receiving aid from their renter's insurance to replenish, but a lot of people didn't even have that there. The giving is helping them.
What I'm reading, it's going to take 10 years for that town to mm-hmm. even come back to life. Would you agree?
Yes. My husband's a contractor, so he has a greater understanding of the intensity of repair work that needs to be done up there, and the whole infrastructure will need to be replaced. So many homes are on septic tanks, and the tanks may have failed during the fire because of the heat, because of the weight of equipment going in to fight the fires. They could have collapsed. Concrete gets compromised when it's in intense heat, as we had. So just getting the infrastructure up and running, we went over to county offices, and they said it's going to be a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And just the hazmat removal process is going to take a year, we were told, and then after that you have debris removal, and I think I heard it was 8 million tons of fire debris that need to be removed off the mountain. So that's going to take time.
Here's what I want to do in my closing segment. I want to talk about how people can help, and you have a GoFundMe, I believe. We'll talk about that too. And I think more important than that really is, how can people pray? And then you have had some interesting conversations, because you have tried to share the love of the Lord with a lot of people, and some are open and some are kind of unusual response considering what they've just gone through. I couldn't believe what you told me this morning, and we'll talk about that in just a moment or two. Folks, I'm coming back in just a minute or two. We're going to wrap up my interview talking to Julie Braden, and she and her husband, Mark, were two very blessed and fortunate people to escape the Paradise, California fire, which broke out November the 8th. And of course, much of California in mid to late November was going through this terrible, terrible ordeal. And you really begin to think about what is the most important thing in life when you see scenarios like Julie is describing. We'll talk more about that. We'll wrap this up here in just a couple of minutes, so don't go away.
In just a moment, we'll rejoin Julie Braden and Jan Markell. Don't forget to save the date. Our next Understanding the Times conference is set for next September 21st. Grace Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota is again the place to be on that date. Early in the coming year, we'll be giving you more details. Plan to be with us on September 21. Jan Markell and her staff thank all of you who've written to this broadcast ministry this year to tell us about yourselves and how much you've enjoyed this weekly program. Remember to pray in the coming new year that God will continue to bless Jan and her team as they continue to help you understand the times. We get our mail at Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. Or you can reach us directly when you dial 763-559-4444. Jan returns to wrap up today's session right after this.
First Chronicles 12 says that the sons of Issachar were men who understood the times. That is the challenge to every believer today, to understand our times and to become watchmen on the wall. Thank you for allowing this ministry and this radio outreach to do that for you every day of the year. As the world grows darker, you're going to be called upon to be a light to the world and to delay the decay. Why not mark your calendar right now for Understanding the Times 2019, where you can better learn how to do this. The date is Saturday, September 21st, just outside of Minneapolis, Grace Church, Eden Prairie, Minnesota. Our speakers will include Amir Sarfati, J.D. Farag, Dr. Robert Jeffress, and Jack Hibbs. I will have a message that day as well. Tickets will go on sale next summer. Visit our conference page at olivetreeviews.org for more details. In the meantime, look up, for our redemption draws nigh.
Seems like it's falling apart. There are heightened tensions between world powers, and there are also natural disasters seemingly much more fierce than in years past. Well, many people are asking, where is God in all of this?
Keeping you informed and aware of how the Bible is playing out through our daily news is our main purpose for coming to you every week. We are Understanding the Times with Jan Markell.
Picture a snow blizzard, it's just an ember blizzard. And all those embers were pelting, you know, homes and pelting the ground. It's just absolutely heartbreaking to drive through Paradise and see the level of destruction.
Reporting today from what was the Paradise Inn, this hotel, one of many here on the main drag in Paradise that burned to the ground. And the human loss is now unmatched in the state. The campfire has become the deadliest wildfire in California history.
Let's return now for the conclusion of today's conversation with Paradise, California wildfire survivor, Julie Braden. Once again, Jan Markell.
And we're wrapping up our program. Last program of the year. And thank you all for your generous support of Olive Tree Ministries, Understanding the Times Radio throughout 2018. I'm going out of the year, well, on a high note and a low note. The low note is, of course, reliving the campfire that broke out November the 8th in Paradise, California. And we've kind of been reliving that here. And we're going to wrap it up in just a moment. Remember, too, though, that this program is always posted to my website Saturday morning, Olive Tree Views. olivetreeviews.org, olivetreeviews.org, and always encourage you to sign up for my print and e-newsletter where we talk about these kinds of issues on a regular basis. And talking to Julie Braden, Julie and Mark and their dog were survivors of the fire back on November the 8th. She's told us a little bit of the story. I want to talk just a little bit about how you folks can help my listening audience. And it's not too late, even here in 2018, to be of help. Julie says the most practical thing, not necessarily hard goods, but gift cards for the people to be able to use as spending cash. Go through Samaritan's Purse, Salvation Army, some of the Calvary Chapels there. That's a church denomination, Calvary Chapel, Chico, California. Calvary Chapel, Conco, I'll spell that, C-O-N-C-O-W. Those Calvary Chapels are doing what they can to help, specifically helping the campfire victims. Some have lost their homes twice. And honestly, people are, some of them are, you know, still in shock because this is hardly how you expect life to take a turn when you're just living a normal life. However, in that part of the country, it is not all that uncommon for flames to suddenly be appearing and approaching. Also want to talk to Julie in the minutes we have left, and that is all we have left, about how we can pray for people. And Julie and Mark have a GoFundMe. You can find them at Helping Hands, Julie and Mark Braden, B-R-A-D-E-N. They have a GoFundMe trying to raise $10,000 so they can start over as well. And this ministry just sent a gift to the GoFundMe for Julie and Mark Braden. You can just Google Julie and Mark Braden, GoFundMe, Helping Hands, things like that. It'll come up right away. Can't give phone numbers, folks. Sorry, but we can't do that right now. Julie, talk to me a little bit about, you've been sharing your faith. You are strong in the faith. And we talked this morning, and you were telling me that you actually shared your faith. And with the younger people, it's been more difficult because the younger folks are not people of faith. You shared with one in a laundromat, and tell me what happened.
Well, she thought that we were very narrow-minded and that she did not want to live for eternity. She could only see the here and now of life, and she wasn't receptive at all to us sharing the Lord, and very resistant. And I have found in sharing with someone like that I don't want to push them farther away. I just start praying for them. And it saddened me that she had such a hard heart towards it, but I also have to understand she may have grown up never hearing the gospel because she didn't believe that Jesus was God in the flesh. So she doesn't have an understanding of the salvation message to begin with. But all we can do in situations like this is plant the seed and let God take it from there. And he will.
So, but you're telling them about eternal life, because obviously they're seeing that this life can be extinguished in a nanosecond. And so when you're talking, or anyone is talking about eternal life, and there are many believers there among this tragedy, I'm sure there are hundreds, if not thousands, because the area is so vast. And I'd be curious to know if any of them are having a little bit more positive experience than the one you described.
Well, some good friends of ours, everywhere that they have gone, they've had positive experiences by starting out the conversation with, how can I pray for you? And when they're asking that question, the person they're asking it of kind of gets a startled look on their face, and then they share something that they have a need for, or a loved one is sick. And so they're thankful that someone thought enough of them to pray, and it opens up dialogue from that point. And a lot of times, when we engage in conversation with people when we're out and about, depending on how that conversation started, well, then you can kind of turn the conversation over to, what do you believe about eternity and where you'll spend it? And that opens up the door to share. You can have confidence in where you will spend eternity. And we share with them about the Lord and what he did for us and how he provided that way for us to spend eternity with him. And so, you know, we take it from there, and we haven't come across anybody that says, yes, will you pray for me for salvation? That hasn't happened yet. Mm-hmm. But we continue to do so. And more often than not, we're encountering people that have kind of put their faith on the back burner, and they say, oh, yes, we need to be closer to the Lord. This makes me realize I need to do this or be better at that. So
it's more we're encouraging believers to stay close to the Lord through it all and pay attention to his direction of what he wants you to do now. And we've all escaped a horrendous situation through the fires and have been displaced. And so we encourage people to stay in connection, not only with the Lord, but also with the body of believers that you have been fellowshipping with for however long you've been a believer, mm-hmm. because it helps keep us strong in our faith to have that circle of friends about us that can help us figure something out in a situation none of us have experience with.
Well, I think someone said to you, how can you be at such peace, so much peace on your face?
Yes, and they're surprised that we can go through this with peace and joy, and then we can share with them, well, because God has given us comfort, he's given us eternal life, and that can't be lost. No matter what happens to us here in this life, our eternal destination is sealed by what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. And that's how we can have joy, because we know where we're going to spend eternity. And our journey here on this earth, sometimes it gets a little bumpy, but it's all temporary. It's all temporal. We got to look through the situation with faith-filled eyes and see that what is the permanent? The permanent is eternity and not the temporal stuff that we live day-to-day situations in.
And how can the listener pray for you, for the other victims there? How would you have them pray?
Just pray for the peace of God would come and just dwell amongst the people that have lost everything, for the believers to be encouraged and to go out and encourage others, for those who don't know the Lord, that they would come to know the Lord through this, but also for emotional healing and physical strength to navigate the aftermath of devastation, which is what we're all living in right now, is we have to deal with the practical stuff. Where are we going to live now? Are we going to rebuild? You know, all those weighty decisions that we all have to make. We need wisdom to make these decisions and not run on emotions. So I think praying for wisdom to determine what we need to do in the here and now, physical strength to get through all of the traumatic appointments, and going back and seeing our property yesterday was emotional. And so I think that's where the great need for prayer is, for strength and emotional healing for everyone that has gone through this and survived various degrees of PTSD.
I'm sure that's true. Now, Julie, going back to the town of Paradise, did this fire kind of skip around? In other words, one house might have been taken, the next one not. Did it behave this way erratically?
Yes, there were burned out neighborhoods that could have one house still standing untouched. And the best description I heard of it was that the fire, as it's coming up through the canyons and gaining strength because of the draw of the terrain, just drawing the fires up, it was also scattering embers in various places. And we've been in a drought for
part of the storm, perfect storm.
It just started fires and quickly and randomly structures were destroyed. Backside of a building could be scorched and the front side be untouched. On our property, the white picket fence is still standing, and the waste management trash can didn't have any singe marks on it. It was very strange how it acted and what areas it touched and what was left standing. When we went up to Paradise, we went in with sheriff escort yesterday to our property because our zone is still under evacuation order. We were amazed at the devastation we saw when we went up there, but we've had hope because we saw so many workers up there, the tree cutters, the PG&E crew people restoring infrastructure. Law enforcement is there keeping people safe, you know, so they don't sneak into their zone that is not marked safe to travel in, because there's so many trees up there that were damaged and compromised. I heard Sheriff Honey say a couple of weeks back that at least 10,000 trees have been marked to be taken out.
Well, again, pray for these folks. There's some practical ways you can help. I already gave that info. Samaritan's Purse, some of the Calvary Chapel churches in the area, Calvary Chapel Chico, Calvary Chapel Concow, C-O-N-C-O-W, Julie and Mark Braden, Helping Hands, Julie and Mark Braden. You can look that up online at the GoFundMe. GoFundMe is the area where you can actually donate for this family. There, obviously, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of people in need in that particular area. Julie, thank you for sharing this incredible story. We are going to be in prayer for you. And let me go out of the program, just cite a Bible verse here and just a closing thought or two. Isaiah 43:2 says that when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Through the rivers, they shall not overflow. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. But it also says in Matthew 5 that the rain, and the implication could be that the fire, falls on the just and the unjust. No one can know the mind of God. Is he sending warning signals that the hour is late? Are the historic disasters of the last few years, since they've obviously been worsening, are these just birth pangs, a warning that Jesus is coming soon? You need to be ready. There were some in Paradise, California, that thought they had a tomorrow, yet no one is guaranteed of a tomorrow. You are not even promised the new year that we're about to enter. This is a reminder to get your spiritual house in order, to declare Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, since tomorrow may be too late. The Bible says all who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. I want to thank you for listening to the program throughout 2018. We'll talk to you in the new year.
Thank you for joining us for Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell, reaching the world to report current events through the lens of Scripture. This broadcast costs you nothing to listen. It costs us thousands of dollars each weekend. As we produce and distribute this weekly program, would you consider becoming a financial partner with us? In this ever-changing world, Christ followers need to stay informed and to be aware of current events from a biblical perspective. This is where you'll hear compelling programs every week to highlight hidden dangers in our culture and the hope that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. We invite you to join us in helping to underwrite this listener-supported broadcast. Please write with your tax-deductible gifts to Olive Tree Ministries, Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota, 55311. You can also give at olivetreeviews.org or by phone at 763-559-4444. Around the clock, olivetreeviews.org is also the place to go for daily updates on global events from a biblical worldview. We're looking forward to hearing from you this week. Thank you for your continued prayer support. Join Jen next week when she returns with another information and inspiration-packed hour designed to help you understand the times.